You're listening to New England Public Media News. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is the shortlist NEPM's Week in Review. Joining us today on the line, Ron Chmelis, reporter and columnist with the Springfield Republican newspaper, and Kristen Palpini, managing editor with Daily Voice Massachusetts. Ron, Kristen, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
Thanks, Adam.
This week, federal authorities released the results of an investigation on Massachusetts state prisons and said conditions violate constitutional rights of inmates. The U.S. Attorney for Massachusetts, Andrew Lelling, says the Department of Correction failed to provide proper care or supervision to prisoners in mental health crisis. Governor Charlie Baker says every recommendation by the Justice Department will be put into place.
And while we have focused real hard on a bunch of different things associated with DOC over the course of the past few years around criminal justice reform, managing COVID, this is a fail that needs to get fixed.
Ron, this investigation started 2 years ago, and only now is the state saying they'll work on the problem. Are you surprised corrections officials let this go so long?
Well, I mean, every time you hear about something being delayed, you think COVID. I don't know if that's a fair excuse for this. So I can't say I'm surprised. These things don't happen overnight. But 2 years is a long time. They are saying they're getting to it now. They have to be pushed by legal authorities. But, I don't know if they could have gotten to it earlier, perhaps, but at least they seem to be moving forward now.
Kristen, is it time for wide-ranging reforms to incarceration in Massachusetts, given this report?
Oh, absolutely. It's the report talked about, it was particularly critical of the prisons putting people that were having mental health episodes in solitary confinement, or in some cases more than 4 days. And that is just the opposite of what you need to do in that situation. And it led to injuries and deaths. It's cruel and unusual. So that needs to be fixed.
You know, there's one thing I'd like to add too. Massachusetts historically has been a leader in prison reform going back a couple of hundred years. And this is an opportunity, I think, for them to reach that high bar again that they have had for most of their last history.
Meanwhile, on Beacon Hill, legislation aimed at policing reform has been stalled for months, and time is running out to get something done. The Massachusetts House and Senate each passed their own versions of the bill, but so far, they haven't been able to iron out their differences and come up with a compromise plan. The Boston Globe reports some of the issues at hand are the configuration of a police certification board and legal protections for police officers in civil lawsuits. Kristen, the legislative session ends soon, and if nothing gets done, lawmakers will have to start all over again in the new term. What's the message if they can't resolve their differences on this bill?
I think the message is that they're slacking. Connecticut was able to do this in the summer, and it wasn't difficult. You can do this by paring it down to just simply things that they agree on, no chokeholds. More training, things like that, things that aren't as controversial, just to get the ball rolling. Because if they don't do it in this session, I don't know if the same kind of strength is going to be behind it.
Ron, most state lawmakers that were up for another term this year ran unopposed. Do you think they lack a sense of urgency knowing that there isn't much pressure coming at the ballot box?
Well, that could be, but, you know, I'm going to give them more slack than most people do. To me, this has never been as easy an issue or as simplistic an issue. And I'm not saying we're saying that here, as it's been made out to be. Police reform is not something that I think can be done overnight. And if it's done incrementally, I'm not sure we're going to be happy with the results either. This takes some time to sort through, and people don't want that because they think it's an urgent problem and it was a current event, and it still is. But I don't really like the idea of doing part of this now. Whatever Connecticut did, I don't know if they've been serious enough about it. Maybe not. But whatever they do, it's not as if they're going to sit down and simply say, bang, bang, bang. They're having small differences, as the House and the Senate always do. They have to get through that. They have to come up with something. But the idea that we're going to wake up in a couple of days and have a solution, I've always felt that was unrealistic.
Also this week, Governor Baker filled the last vacancy in the Supreme Judicial Court. He's added two new judges who are people of color, and his pick for Chief Justice, Kimberly Budd, was unanimously confirmed this week, becoming the first black woman to lead the SJC. Budd has family ties to the Springfield area, but none of the justices are from Western Mass, leaving the High Court without a voice from the area. Mary Hurley is the Western Mass representative on the Governor's Council, which votes on judicial nominations.
There were many times that in discussing the impact of a case, the impact geographically out here in Western Mass would be far different from the impact in the major metropolitan area of Boston.
Ron, what about that lack of a Western Mass voice on the SJC?
Well, Mary Hurley was quoted as saying that Bud was a great pick with great Springfield roots. Her grandfather was the first black police officer in Springfield. So it's hard for me to say there's no voice. I felt for years that there should be at least one Western Mass resident on this court. I still feel that way. But to say that there's no representation, then turn around and say that Bud is a great pick, which people universally are saying that. For now, I'm satisfied. But I think Baker's had many chances to add another Western Mass person, and he hasn't done it.
Baker pointed this week to the fact that he's nominated judges to other courts, not the SJC, but Superior Court and the Appeals Court and so on. Kristen Hurley told me that it's been hard to get people from this area to apply for SJC openings, in part because of the travel to Boston. What do you think?
Oh, man. Wow, we've all done it. That's an hour and a half on the pike, if you're lucky. So I can see why somebody wouldn't want to do that. That would be a really hard thing to ask. But I think there does need to be more inclusion of our region in the justice system that high up.
And we wrap up this week with the weather. Forecasters with the National Weather Service say New England could be in for a milder than normal winter, but there still could be a big storm here or there. So Kristen, does the potential for a milder winter do anything for you?
Oh, it makes me so happy. I love the warmth. I was a little bummed that it's going to be wet from what I hear, but I'll take it.
How about
I like
you?
Heat.
Sorry about that, Kristen. How about you, Ron?
I love cold weather. We live up here. We shouldn't complain about the weather. And this is all global warming, so we shouldn't be too happy about it. But all seriousness, this is not a year a lot of people want big energy bills or so many poor people, homeless people. If there's ever a time to have a little warming and a little bit of easing of that particular issue up here, this is that year.
All right. Ron Chmielis with the Springfield Republican and Kristen Palpini with Daily Voice Massachusetts. Thanks for being with us today.
Thanks, Adam.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to the Shortlist NEPM's Week in Review. You can catch us at any time, wherever you get your podcasts, or at nepm.org/podcast hub. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is New England Public Media.